This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Mr. Pete Dillon. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm faffing around with my cans.
Faffing around with your cans,
yes, faffing
as
around
per
with
usual.
My cans. I like to faff around. I'm not bad, actually. It's a bit cold and wet and miserable, but I think we sort of talk about that every week, so I think we just need to
might be time to change the record. What do you reckon?
Yeah, it's winter. We'll get over it.
I'm going to Sydney tomorrow, so it should be bright and sunny, well, all things being good.
One can live in hope. One can live
indeed,
in hope.
Indeed, indeed. Good weekend?
Yeah. I'm not talking about football, but apart from that, all good.
Oh, because your team continues to lose. Well, they've had a few bad losses lately and a couple of wins.
A loss by 2 points.
Yeah, they played well against the Eagles.
Yes.
You know, they got robbed maybe. I didn't watch the game.
There was one particular free kick that was just ridiculous. It wasn't paid and it was an obvious push in the back and it's been seen about 50 times and the guy's pushed in the back in the goal square. And the free kick is given against him, and it's just ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh. I was, you know, just very unhappy with the Collingwood-Carlton game the other day because I tipped Collingwood,
oh,
you know.
So did I. So
you know,
did I.
And my tipping, I'm back at the top of my ladder for my tipping.
Oh, mine are all over the shop.
I'm feeling quite good about it. I've never tipped before.
Maybe that should be our subject with Noni tonight. We should talk about footy because I'm sure she's got some pearls of wisdom to impart around the football.
I think she might have some pearls of sarcasm.
She probably
to share
will be.
With us because she doesn't strike me as a sporty spice.
Oh no, she's
but
not.
But she
really
is joining us tonight, yes. And we've got a couple of guests tonight as well, haven't we?
Yeah, we're going to talk to Mark Wirra. Mark's a member of the community. He's quite well known in a lot of circles. He used to work for MCV and Southern Star. He's levelled a complaint of homophobia against Joe Helper, who's a Victorian Labor MP, around their preferencing of Family First over the Greens in the upcoming Melbourne by-election. So we'll talk to Mark, sort of get his views on why the
I
issue is there
sort
first.
Of unpacking that, because I've read the Coro on that, and I'm kind of interested to see where he's at.
Yeah, so we're also going to talk about Malcolm Turnbull.
Yeah, look, Malcolm, you know, I've had a bit of a lady crush on Malcolm for a while. That's since died in the arse.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk to Adam, who's the president of HLM Melbourne. HLM,
yeah.
And we talked about them last week, the new support group for, is it just gay Arab men?
I believe so, but yeah. Adam will answer that question for us.
Yeah, good.
And we're also going to have a couple of interesting tunes, some covers I've gone with.
We're going
to
get the Like a Virgin on, maybe?
We are indeed.
Yeah. Look, I think also tonight we're going to chat a little bit about Queensland hurtling back in time.
A couple of stories from Queensland. One in particular, there's we've talked about the surrogacy laws that Campbell Newman is sort of shifting. There's a lawyer who seems to think this could be a breach of the Federal Discrimination Act. So it's going to create some confusion there in Queensland. And also, I'm a bit miffed about the Gold Coast wanting to have a gay race day. They seem not to want anything else gay in Queensland, but, of course, a gay race day. And they're saying
that the gays are spending money.
The GLBT community is worth $120 million a year to the Gold Coast. So there seems to be a bit of sort of incongruous decision-making going on up there as well. So all
of
that's
to talk
about.
Oh, I think it's, you know, there's a lot ahead of us tonight. And there's also a fundraising initiative that's helping out the Queensland Health Services place that's facing
the quark that's
lost their funding. There's this new initiative, a dog tag initiative, which we'll talk about a little bit as well. I came across that today. So, look, speaking of Like a Virgin, should we kick off with the Pumped Up Kicks by Owl Eyes, which I love this.
I love this version
really
of this
It's a really quirky tune.
Joy 94.9.
That would mean it's international. Oh, no,
it's national news. You were reaching for your headphones do on the international.
I know, what's
You're
going on?
You're all a flutter.
What's going on?
I'm a bit all of a flutter as well because there's someone who smells rather nice in the studio right
yes,
now.
Yes, I know.
I've just cracked onto him in a kind of leso
kind of
gay
way.
Man
yes,
way.
It was
terribly
which I'm sure it's not the first time it's happened.
Platonic. Welcome to Mark Wareham. Thank you for joining us tonight, mate.
Thank you for having me in so late.
No, look, it is late. It's sort of
late,
creeping up to, I don't know, 6 or 7 past 11
or something.
We never get it right. We just ballpark it.
Okay.
Just so easy. You know.
Hey, we want to talk to you. You wrote to every Victorian Labor MP in an email to, I guess, exercise your democratic right to your frustration around the fact that Labor is preferencing Family First in the upcoming Melbourne by-election, as opposed to the Greens, or putting Family First ahead of the Greens. What prompted your email in the first instance?
Look, the first instance was the fact that they were going for Family First.
Mm-hmm.
In the email, I'm quite sure I actually turned around and said before other candidates, but then went on to mention about Greens are becoming more popular, and so then everyone was actually have kind of made it out that I was saying they put them before the Greens when I was actually saying they put Family First before other candidates for a party, which my understanding is they're not they don't particularly like the gay and lesbian community. Being
Family
First.
I think that's probably a really polite way of putting it.
Yes. I try to be
staunchly opposed to the presence of any sort of homo behaviour.
Mm. Now, you also you talk about some influences in your family, your biological family, that if you can get your truck driving brother to sort of swing around to the idea that you know, a marriage equality is a good thing, then surely a member for the Labor Party should think similarly.
Yeah, you know, all my life I've been a Labor voter and, you know, because that sort of was the party that family went for and ended up meeting and satisfying my social justice thoughts and needs when I came out. Now it just seems like they're running off to Family First and, you know, I know my brother isn't all that happy about those type of people in the world, religious fanatics maybe. So, you know, I'm quite sure that with just talking to him, he might understand a bit more. He constantly complains about both the mainstream parties at the moment. So I thought I'm sure he'll listen eventually. Mm. But, you know, look, it's... look, it was me expressing how I felt. That's how I felt. Wanted to engage them with asking them why they're doing this, why they're turning, as in Labor, turning it back on their on the gay and lesbian community, who have, I think, always been a very strong supporter of the Labor Party, more so than other political groups.
I think that day is sort of drawing to a very quick close. You did respond. You did receive a response from a Victorian Labor MP, Joe Helper, who walk us through that, because obviously you did a sort of, you know, rapid fire of all MPs and look, I think you've raised a really good point before we get into the actual response here, is that I think this is a watershed moment for the Labor Party to be offering their preferences to candidates who represent Family First.
Mm, absolutely. It's weird.
I think it's a very clear statement of position and not defiance but ongoing stubbornness from not just the federal but also the state Labor position. Mm. So Joe Helper was less than helpful, clearly.
Yeah.
so you walk us through the response.
Well, look, you know, the email went off. I certainly alluded in there that in my email I was gay, and Joe was the first and only one to really reply to me, and his reply was, I think it was, whatever floats...
Whatever blows up your skirt, Mark. Will, for one, continue to represent the 85%+ of my electorate who passionately voted against the Greens.
You know, I've said that and read that so many times, I think I've blocked it out of my memory. And it's just like, it was quite a up-the-skirt thing. I just thought, I thought, what a stupid reply, and just really rude, and coming from a Labor person, I actually did double-check that I sent it to a Liberal, that I hadn't sent it to a Liberal candidate, and I sent it to a Labor person. That's how it came across.
Another response, you just responded with, my skirt, wow.
Yeah.
And
I was lost for words for once.
Well, that's a rare thing. And then his response is, oh, what a witty retort. So you've decided to take this, take a bit of a campaign to the media about this.
Hence your appearance today.
Yeah.
Walk us through your belief that it's homophobic.
Look,
because would it be fair to say that he's just gotten it wrong, that he actually hasn't slagged you? And I'm not defending him because I'm... Yeah. Absolutely staunchly anti-Labor these days.
Yeah. I suppose.
So walk me through it. Devil's advocate.
The best way, Mr. Ryan and Ms. Dillon, is to show you that if you don't really address people in the right way of who and what they are, then isn't it like it was in there? Said gay. My aunts want gay marriage. Why would they just be saying that? So I just thought it was just really rude. It was rude. I got asked, do you think it's a bit homophobic? Other people saw it as a bit homophobic as well and thought, well, maybe it is. And, you know, it is. It's offensive. Up your skirt. Come on, why would you say that back to a guy? If you're a straight politician, just being a knockabout type of guy, which apparently that's what he is.
He's made the comment to the Star Observer where you took this story. The skirt reference was simply a throwaway line. I put that in the same category as whatever rocks your boat, whatever blows up your skirt, whatever blows up your trousers. Maybe I should have used that. And then he goes on to say, I didn't realise the gentleman was so sensitive. I would take more offence at being called sensitive than just the up your skirt line.
Look, I suppose it's a fairly good politician cat cry. Oh, he's just being sensitive. You know, it's that thing. They're being a wuss, they're being sensitive, and it sort of obviously tries to paint me in a poorer light. But, you know, yeah, I was sensitive. I was sensitive to what a party that I've voted for since I was basically 18 for over 20-odd years have done this. I was sensitive to what they were doing.
So what is it that you hope to get from this media coverage that you're now embarking on? And I say this with no judgment. Yeah. What do you want?
To be quite honest, it's quite absolutely snowballed. When I got the reply back, I was quite taken back. I know this is it'll sound funny, but I was actually on the Monday going to call Andy from Star Observer because I was on holidays. I got back. I heard she'd resign. I was going to call her and wish her a happy, new job. And when this email came in, it was when I was about to call her, and then I told her, and then from then it kind of snowballed like, wow, that's, you know, just being rude and even not just on looking at it from a possible homophobic way. Then it's just rude as well, and just, you know, they're... It was just rude, and it just sort of comes across as a new line. They seem to be wanting to team up with the religious organisations more, so the gay community is being pushed aside. So I think they are just being all a little bit homophobic, really, when they make those decisions.
So what's next?
What's next? Look, I don't know. Look, you know, it's out there now. People have heard. They now understand that their vote for Labor will go to Family First, which, as we know, is not the most friendliest to the gay and lesbian community.
Well, they particularly dislike us, I believe.
And that's what I understand as well. And it's just shocking. Why would they do that? It's just, I don't know, it's just... has frustrated me. People are hearing about it, and I think that's a good thing. The Joe Halper also accused me of being the email coming from a green, made-up, whitewashed type of bleeding heart story.
Green's fake
of somebody
outrage.
Who lives in Albert Park.
Yeah, Green's fake outrage. It wasn't fake. It was me. I'm not a member of the Greens. I voted for Labor for heaps and heaps of years and heaps of elections, and I'm not saying how long now, and it's frustrating. They're just wrong, so now people are knowing, and I'm not employed by the Greens. I was annoyed that they put Labor put Family First. It's just that Greens going to be the next choice for me.
There's two issues here, as I read it. One is your offence at the email, that you'd like people to know that these sorts of comments are out there in the ether, promoted by Joe Halper. It's not okay. No. It's possibly just clumsy stuff. The second issue is that the Labor is giving their preferences to the Family First person. So what do you want our listeners to do?
Look, contact their Labor MPs and ask them why. Just say, why are you doing this? If you have truly been a Labor voter and now you're feeling disenfranchised by Labor, let them know. The more we let them know, the more they know. It only happens by communicating with them.
That's it. Mark, thank you for coming in.
Oh, thank you.
And having a chat to us.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks for
following on this story.
This is Jess Harlan on Joy 94.9.
And we're back.
We're back. We are. We've returned to move on to some other national stories.
Look, let's just wrap this up.
Yeah.
What's your position?
I hold the same position as Mark as far as the election and the
Family First
preferencing
stuff. Oh
family
my gosh,
first
I totally am behind
ahead
that.
Of the Greens, because it's clearly gone to the days where Labor was a leftist party. It's becoming more centrist. So I actually I like what he's had to say. I don't know if I would have read it as homophobic were it addressed to me, but...
I wouldn't have, but, you know, he's entitled to his opinion absolutely. And this is a safe place for him to air that, my word. You know. But I do worry sometimes that, you know, there are bigger issues with language that we've talked about for a really long time now, and I wonder if this is just one of those small seeds.
Let's hope it's been planted at least.
Well, yeah, you know, the guy doesn't want to retract his comment. We should have mentioned that he refuses to retract any comments. So, anyway, talking about retractions, remember last year, the lovely Malcolm Turnbull, my resident man crush, surveyed the residents of the Wentworth electorate, and 72% of them came back with a rousing endorsement of same-sex marriage equality.
Yeah.
Give me the update, Pete.
Malcolm made a speech. He delivered the Kirby lecture several nights ago, and he's made some fairly some comments that I think are going to have Tony Abbott sort of twisting in his Kelvins. He's described those who claim legalising gay marriage would undermine the institution as dripping with the worst sort of hypocrisy. He said that Mr. Abbott's refusal to give Liberals a conscience vote is the deepest pools of hypocrisy were all too often found amongst the most sanctimonious. And he says, let's be honest with each other. The threat to marriage is not the gays. It's a lack of loving commitment, whether it's found in the form of neglect, indifference, cruelty, or adultery, to name just a few manifestations of the loveless desert in which too many marriages come to grief. Beautiful words.
It is nice. So he supports the private members' bill.
Were they allowed a conscience vote?
If they're allowed to have a conscience vote in the legislation voting on this year.
That was all a couple of days ago.
You know, this is great. So he comes out and he gets big props for this, but he does now support civil unions.
Yeah, he does. And he seems to think that we'll be that's the logical step on the way to marriage equality. But last night on Q&A, he's actually stated that, well, it seems his job is more important than his beliefs. And this is where I start to have concerns. He said he will not cross the floor on gay marriage because he believes he has more value to his constituents if he stays in the shadow cabinet. I saw this on Q&A. He said, I'm utterly unpersuaded by the proposition that my marriage to Lucy, or indeed any marriage, is undermined by two gay men or two lesbians setting up a house down the road, whether it's called marriage or not. So he's sort of... He's made these some might say even inflammatory statements in the Kirby lecture, but then he's turned around and said, well, hang on, I won't cross the floor because my job is too
important.
I think
it's okay, but just don't expect me to vote and endorse it.
Yeah.
I think it's I'm very disappointed in Malcolm Turnbull, and I understand that Tony Abbott rules with an iron fist in that party, and you know, he wants to stop the gays, stop the boats, stop the conscience vote, stop the
everything.
Lot.
Yeah.
So that's obviously terribly unfortunate. But at some point, these front benches need to grow a set.
Well, Malcolm said he has argued this in the party room. He stated his opinions very clearly to the coalition front bench. I would suggest that if there was another leadership spill, and we've talked about this before, Tony Abbott only won the last one over Malcolm by a vote. If there were another leadership spill, I think there would be enough support from Malcolm to take the position as opposition leader and then allow a conscience vote, which has been Liberal policy for millennia.
I mean, I think that, you know, if Malcolm takes the leadership, and I really hope he does, because he's a contemporary leader. He's like a bit like Obama. He's happy to evolve. I mean, he's absolutely fallen on his own sword here for the party. But if he leads the Liberal Party, I think he has the ability to lead the country well.
I believe
he would be a far better leader than Julia Gillard, and a far more honest leader.
Yes,
than Gillard.
It's just a bit hypocritical to deliver this great lecture, this Kirby lecture, and then sort of turn around on national television and say, well, yeah, look, this is what I believe, but I will not cross the floor because it's going to cost me my job.
You know, he's actually really, really wealthy as well. I mean, does he really need to work?
No.
Probably not, you know.
He fell on his sword once before when he was leader of the opposition.
And he lost the leadership as a result.
He lost the leadership because he believed in climate change and the science around climate change and a carbon tax or the mineral resources rent tax. And now I would love to see him fall on his sword again, but I doubt that he'll do it.
Well, you know, he's not prepared to listen to his constituents either, and that's, you know, that's a real bugbear.
And yet he believes that by not crossing the floor that this is the best way to represent them. One must ask the question. Let's move to Queensland just for a minute because...
Oh, you know, Queensland.
We spend a lot of time in Queensland.
Big pain in my ass. I've got to tell you, the headline that we're reading today is the state that seems to hate the homos. They actually want a gay race day. It's gay day at the races.
Mm.
So Victoria's racing minister Dennis Napthine has suggested that the Gold Coast Turf Club host an annual gay day. So this is coming out of Victoria in its continual bid to boost on-course crowd numbers. So he's holidaying up there, Napthine, on the GC.
Yep.
Made his first visit to Bundle Track on Saturday. And, you know, he just feels that, you know, we have a gay day at Kyneton Race Club and it's one of their big days of the year. Mm. It's, you know...
Kyneton's a town of, you know, 3,000
and, you know,
people.
Bring out your gays, you know, everybody gets to be free for a day. He just feels that it's a great way to, you know, to bring some money into the economy.
And what... Gold Coast Tourism CEO Martin Winter said that the gay and lesbian market would contribute $120 million to the city this year alone. And yet this is the same state that has elected Campbell Newman, and he is just repealing every step forward that the previous Labor government has made. So it just makes one wonder. I wouldn't go to the Gold Coast for race day. They can jam it up their jerseys.
Well, I don't believe in horse racing, full stop, because I think it's cruel. But I read something the other day where, you know, someone who's been expelled from the Liberal Party in Queensland only in the last couple of weeks is now saying that Queensland's Liberal Party is becoming a cult.
Yep.
And I think, you know, now we're looking at the surrogacy ban.
Yep.
Okay, and there's a surrogacy law expert who believes that the changes to Queensland Surrogacy Act will actually contravene the federal sex discrimination legislation that we talked to at the top of the hour. So this man's name is Stephen Page, and he said, you know, banning people in de facto relationships, singles, relationships less than 2 years, and same-sex couples through altruistic surrogacy is an exercise in futility.
Mm.
It's going to fall foul of the sex discrimination, which will override the state legislation. So he's written to the Attorney General.
Our mate Jared Blahey.
Yeah, on the matter last week, and there's been no reply. It's about having a symbolic act, and he believes that if they were to put this in place and someone goes to a doctor seeking treatment, the doctor is then caught between state legislation that makes them a party to an offence and federal legislation that says it's unlawful to discriminate on the basis of marital status. It really places doctors in a really precarious position.
It does, because
you know,
it's
how can they not
laws,
do no harm?
Which set of laws do you follow as well? Sam Everingham, who is from Surrogacy Australia, has said the laws are very complicated. Each state is different. As an organisation, we'd like to see consistency at a federal level, because as it is, it's already ridiculous and awkward. So we do... hope to keep following that story and see if there's any changes.
I think, you know, there's just going to be a massive flux of people leaving Queensland. I really do, I think, and rightly so. I just don't want to go to Queensland anymore, you know. Very sad news in Melbourne town, though.
Yeah, shocked by the death of Pussy Willow. Now, many people would know Pussy as a drag performer from The Greyhound and part of Drags Aloud. Just 38 years of age. His name is Shah Whitebrow. He's male persona. And died of heart failure at age just 38. So to all of Pussy's family and friends, we send our thoughts and wishes, because it's never easy to lose somebody so young just of a heart attack. It's awful.
And you know what? Born in East Melbourne.
Yep.
Worked as a visual merchandiser and a number of other roles in the cosmetics industry, L'Occitane, L'Oreal. You know, people have described him as the most inspirational and truly great funny guy, and his Pussy Willow persona was just so popular. And to die at 38, it's a tragic loss.
It's just awful.
It's a tragic loss indeed.
We do send our thoughts indeed. Let's have another song.
I think so.
Let's have a listen to Busby Maru's version of Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
I come home in the morning light. My mother says, what you gonna do with your life? Oh, mother dear, you're not the fortunate ones, and girls just wanna have fun. Oh, girls just wanna have fun.
Love a little tune from Like a Version.
Yeah.
We've got Adam on the phone, the president of Helem Melbourne, who it's a new group for gay Arab individuals.
Yes, which we talked about last week.
We
and
did.
We thought we'd follow it up with a bit of a chat with Adam. Good evening.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you for talking to us. Talk us through what Helem Melbourne is.
It's a support group for Arab gay and lesbian and just we start like socializing and kind of small support for people is not out or they don't have anyone to talk about sexuality or coming from Arab background.
Okay, and what prompted you to start this, what I think is probably a really important group for people living in Melbourne?
Sorry, can you repeat this one?
What was the reason for starting the group?
Actually, that's the group was 4 or 5 years ago under Arab Gay Group, and for some reason not exist anymore, and still people contact like from VIC and other organization. They've been like asking, they had a lot Arab in contact and they need someone to talk to and to be support or socializing with Arab background. That's the reason I start with it again.
Adam, it's probably a stupid question I'm about to ask, but how difficult is it, particularly with families that may subscribe to a particular religious doctrine, how hard is it to live a life as a homosexual man or woman?
It is very hard and very difficult. It's not even in back home like any Arab country. Here as well, like around your family or your friend, like still you have embarrassing or scare to say it or to mention it for anyone, an untrust or something. And you're like, it's a lot difficult. It's no word to say it, but if you're with it, it is very difficult.
Okay. So you mentioned that the group offers some support. Tell us what that support is. What can people get when they come to your group?
That's actually, word means support. Like we support them if they have like any difficulty to be like out, or some people they find, what they call it? Sorry for this word. Like sometimes they have like emotional or they need like social worker support or something that's provided from VIC.
Mm-hmm.
And we advise them about safe sex, what the right with a police gay or any like legal issue for them, what they have a right, what they all that's advice, mainly advice. If that's the right word, instead support.
Adam, we want to differentiate here that this is a group for Arabs rather than Muslims.
That's for everyone. It's in our group, we don't talk about religion or politics. Wherever you come in, it's more than welcome. But
that's very smart. That's very smart.
Background.
Because we read some news the other day where a Muslim imam stated that there was no homosexuality in the Muslim community. Do you find that within the Arab community there is a similar belief that if we believe it's not happening, then it isn't?
I don't believe. Definitely they are. It's gay and lesbian and sexuality and any community or any religion. Not means like in Arab, but you know, it's special in Arab people, or if I can say this one, they stay behind their finger. Oh, nobody see me or something. But they are. They have to face it. They have to see they are gay and. Mm-hmm. To be like support, and we'll be behind each other. And instead, we'll be like too many people being too stupid because they don't have any support around them.
Adam, how many of the members of your group are actually out to their families?
If I told you like 2 or 3, you believe me?
Absolutely, because we understand it's obviously
tough.
A very difficult thing to do is to come out to your family in particular.
Like I'm a president, or if you can say, like, I'm in charge in the moment.
Yep.
I'm only one. I'm out for my work colleague and my part of my family. And still, like, I'm comfortable with it, but other people, like, I completely understand what they're coming from. Like, I don't force anyone. Probably if I'm talking to you, said, no, you have to force it. They have to face it.
Mm.
I know where I'm coming from. I can't force anyone to face it like this. We try to support as much if we can. And that's, I think that's the main reason we try to build our group around these people. We understand the background, we understand the culture exactly as well.
What was the response from your family, Adam?
Actually, it's I have my brother and my sister here.
Yep.
When I mentioned it to them, there was like a shock.
Yeah.
And that was like 10 years ago.
Yep.
Till now, we don't talk about it.
So do they acknowledge your sexuality and your life as part of that?
Yeah, like they meet my partner and they know, but we don't talk about it. And they don't talk anything about it. And they're fine with it. And I'm fine with it as well.
Adam, if people want to get in touch with you with the group, with Halem, how would they do so?
Like Facebook, Halem Melbourne, H-E-L-E-M, Melbourne, through Facebook.
Yep.
And they can ask any question they want, anything they want. It's more than happy we can provide them. And because we meet like every first Wednesday from each month,
mm-hmm.
but that's through, like we decided it's month by month. Sometime we meet in 6 Claremont Street.
Yep.
Sometime we meet like in the cafe, we have a coffee or something. And if we have like big agenda or something, we prefer to be in 6 Claremont Street.
Yep.
Otherwise, we do it anywhere. We're like, okay. Not particular place.
Okay. Well, Adam, we really appreciate your time tonight. And we wish you the very best of luck with Halem. And we will certainly distribute the information of how people can find you through our Twitter and Facebook accounts tonight.
Thank you
so much for joining us, and the very best of luck.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Adam.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Hello, this is Alison Moyer. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Nice guy.
Yeah, interesting group. Hey, Noni's here.
I know. Let's go get her.
Yep.
All right.
Hello, this is Noni Hazelhurst. You're listening to Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9.
Indeed you are.
We are indeed, and we have the lovely dulcet tones and in-person Noni Hazelhurst with us tonight.
And thankfully,
how are you, darling?
Wearing the same jacket that you were wearing last week, because you might have come.
There were some concerns around that jacket. Did you? Probably a good call. How are you?
I'm very well. You'll probably pick it up at the Salvo next week.
She'll be down at Savers.
Oh, we're boycotting the Salvo, remember?
Right. Yes, no,
yeah, we're right off there.
Savers. They look after diabetes and sids and kids, funnily enough.
Oh, there you go, love. There you go.
Now, we're midway through a season of religion.
We're midway through winter, which we talked about only recently,
yes.
And our associated feelings for it.
Yes.
Seems only logical in winter we should be talking about the religion that is football.
Yes, because we also had a discussion with you a few weeks ago about religion. So combine religion and winter together. And here we have, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the AFL broadcast with Noni Hazelhurst.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
That's a first for you, isn't it?
Football. Well, no, when I did a bit of sitting in for Stubbsy, I had to talk to McAvaney.
Oh, yes,
Bruce. And pretend that I knew what I was talking about then, which I didn't.
Mm. But that's why you have producers on radio, so that they can give you the information
on
the screen.
Well, that's right.
Yes,
yeah.
I was able to, you know, salt and pepper it with certain revelations that someone had written in my notes.
Oh, and of course, Geelong's without Badoodaloo this week.
How do you feel about football?
I couldn't care less.
Are you a sporting...
No.
You don't care for sport at all?
Oh, I quite like watching, you know, some things.
Paint dry.
Because the Olympics start in just a couple of weeks, and you know, we're almost
I'm
in
so
the thick of Wimbledon as we speak. So
Yeah, no, I like watching certain players and participants. I yelled for Cadell and did all that.
Oh, I didn't yell for him at all.
Well, there you go.
I don't think cycling's a sport, nor is he a hero. There, I said it.
I don't think he's a hero, not by any stretch of the imagination.
Is a sport, though.
Cycling is a very demanding sport.
Yeah.
I don't doubt that it's demanding, I just don't consider it a sport.
What do you consider
a sport? Ribbon dancing is?
A pain in the ass is cycling. What do I consider sport? Basketball, swimming, rowing.
Well, if cycling's football. A sport, if cycling's not a sport, one would say that swimming shouldn't be a sport either.
And ribbon dancing shouldn't be a sport.
You know, ribbon dancing, oh my God.
Synchronised swimming should not be a sport.
Oh, that's just someone who knows how to hold their breath. I can do that. Jump in my local pool.
There's some other bits and pieces that I think are part of the Olympics. I would like to see darts brought into the Olympics. I think
only if it involves beer.
And smoking.
And it's in a pub.
Yeah.
Awesome. With Roy and HG comparing it.
Mm.
Yeah, look, I'd be all over that. Like,
what was
fat
Baby
boy
John
a cupcake?
Burgess trying to get into as an Olympic thing?
Something with an old age flavour.
No. It was some weird sport that he was trying to promote as an Olympic.
Pocket boodle. Pocket.
Fiddling.
No.
He's
pocket
trying to demonstrate,
bowls.
Folks.
No.
Billiards.
Pocket
snooker.
Billiards, yeah. Pocket snooker.
Yeah, you see, when you do those gestures, our listeners at home don't actually know. No. They just
Radio
think that
point.
You're doing something saucy in the studio. He wasn't.
Which I generally try not to do in the presence of ladies.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I like soccer, but I'm not a fan of AFL. I went to a match about a year and a half ago, and I hadn't been for about 30 years to the football.
I went to a grand
final.
Who
did you see?
I can't even remember.
It was probably Collingwood. That's why I didn't
like
it.
No. No, what I could not believe was the number of little yellow people running on the field. And
the maggots, as we call them.
Yeah, and how the game has changed so much. I don't know. I just don't. It's a bunch of guys kicking a bag of wind around.
It's become a little bit polite for me. When I was a kid, I used to go to the Derby games with my best friend, Natalie. Now, her family barracked for South Fremantle and we barracked for East Fremantle. And Nat and I would sit at the front and her mum and her granny would sit at the back. Granny was absolutely rabid about South Fremantle. Every time East Fremantle kicked a goal, she'd smack me on the head with her brolly. And then one time we won the Derby, she made me walk home.
Oh,
she wouldn't let me come home in the car.
Did you deserve that? Because knowing you, I think you would have gloated.
As a rat bag. I was. Smug mode, obviously.
See, footy for me, it is a religion. I was born into a family that barracked for a particular team, and so for almost 44 years I've followed that team. I'm a member of that team. They continually break my heart.
Do you want to name that team,
yeah,
Pete?
Yeah, it's North Melbourne. I'm a very proud member of the North Melbourne Football Club. At times I wonder why, but it is... There's something about going to the football. It's a bonding time. One of my brothers and I, we don't get along. You know, we don't see a lot of one another. But we, during winter, we go to the football. We talk rubbish. We drink beer. And it's sort of a... There's some sort of bizarre bonding thing goes on. Because I'm
mad if it's a family tradition, I can understand it. My parents were English, so they had no affiliation with any sporting people here. So that was probably why.
And I'm just mad for sporting. I can watch any sport. As long as it's not boxing... Or any sort of fighting, because I don't think that's sport. That's something that's done in a back alley outside the pub after 30 pints.
With a game of tour.
Yeah. And I can't watch anything where a car, motorcycle or some other sort of vehicle is going around a track.
I accept that people like particular sports. I'm a bit choosy. I played a lot of sport as a kid.
Same.
And, was really committed to my sport.
I was the announcer at the school sports.
Were you? I played state sports, so I played state basketball. Wow. And, I was really, that whole getting my sporty dyke on. Yeah. No, I wasn't butch at all, but I was quite passionate. I've developed a bit of an obsession with football since I moved to Victoria. And I'm going through some issues with the club that I support.
Yes.
And I've been considering St Kilda.
Yes.
And I've been considering changing.
Which is, it's to me, that's like saying, I'm sick of being a Catholic, I might become a Muslim.
The thing is, though, is that, this is really interesting that you say that, Pete, because you are on the record supporting me if I wanted to support your team and go away from St Kilda.
Well, if you want to support my team, of course, it's an entirely different Catholic.
Okay, so we just want to name the hypocrisy here. I don't understand that if you're, born into it, I get it, but for me, I didn't support any team when I came to Victoria. I chose St Kilda because it was the first place I ever visited in Victoria that I fell in love with. But I don't know that they're the team for me long term. I don't know that I can commit to them. And I'm not sure why people think that's such a bad thing. And the Twitter sphere will go nuts now, but I don't care.
Do send us your thoughts, Salt and Pepper Joy.
Is Serena a sellout?
Is Serena a sellout by wanting to change teams? Now, you're talking about wanting to change to Sydney. That would be a geographical decision as well.
I think they're a great team. I'm really impressed with the way they conduct themselves, and I really like the style of footy that they play. I like the way that they promote themselves in the press and the way that they interact with their fans. I think all of that stuff's gold. I think St Kilda is still a really good team. I just don't know that I've chosen well, and I'm probably going to stick with them, because people are so horrible to me when I express wanting to make a change based on my own opinion, God forbid. And that, for me, is that religion of football in Victoria. I guess I'm kind of not there yet with that.
I'd like the Gold Coast Suns to come on a bit.
Would you?
Yes, I think
so. See, I don't think that. I think we should have had a team in Tasmania and the Territory before we had a second team in Queensland and a second team in New South Wales.
Loads in Victoria.
Yeah, because it's a Victorian game. The game was created here. All of those teams that have been here for 100 years. I don't believe should be kicked out of the competition. I just think
they're not kicking them out, though, are they?
No.
Add extras.
But I think we should be looking at Tasmania's been a fertile recruiting ground for some of the best footballers.
Here we go,
Nick Riewoldt is a Tasmanian. there's a great many Tasmanians that have contributed to the game. And then, of course, there is the Territory, which have provided us with...
our Indigenous players.
Well, hundreds
prolific
of...
prolific talent out of
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. So why wouldn't you put a team in those places before you put a second one that a whole bunch of the AFL's money is going to?
Mm.
Draft picks, the whole
yeah,
deal.
I guess that's a fair call.
For a second team in both New South Wales, in Sydney, which is rugby league heartland, likewise Brisbane. So I find that a bit extraordinary, but I'll get off my soapbox now.
Right.
I'll stick with the soccer.
Mm.
And the cricket.
And are we excited about the Olympic Games?
Oh, I am.
No.
I actually want to take time off to watch it.
What?
Yeah, I love the Olympics.
But it'll all be on at stupid o'clock in the morning.
I don't mind.
I have been known to set an alarm to get up and watch a running race at 3 o'clock in the morning. Or
I'm not so much taken with the athletics. It's not really doesn't really tickle my fancy.
You like the ribbon dancing, don't you?
Of course,
the and the ball and the club.
I mean, what in the name of all that is holy is that about?
A few highlights.
Rhythmic gymnastics.
Oh my God!
Rhythmic.
Kill me now. No, I like the thing about football that I don't like as much anymore is that I quite like it if there's a bit of a fight.
Oh, a bit of biffo, yes.
I like a bit of biffo. I don't promote violence in any way, shape or form.
Except on the sporting field.
People are fighting for their
Lions
right to win.
The Romans.
It's when they take the umpire out. That's when it's a really good biffo.
Well, you mentioned umpires. We've seen an increase. I think there's as many umpires on the field now as there are. Well, that's what they call them. Yellow maggots, green maggots, red maggots. Mm. Depends on what outfit they're wearing on the day. I'm normally a gentleman around ladies, unless you see me at the football. And
always around me.
I just go feral. I'm horrible at the football. I generally walk away from the game without a voice.
Yes.
And I've screamed all manner of obscenity and profanity at people who are just doing their job.
Yes.
Sadly, they do it poorly and with a great lack of consistency.
Well, interestingly, Pete and I have an embargo on any text messages or any phone calls or emails
before,
that are inflammatory.
Before, during, or after a game.
Well, no, and also when our teams are against each other.
Oh, right.
So, okay. I've sent one before, and I just think it said something like, cue happy dance, because our team won. And
there was a two-word response, and the second word may have been off.
Yeah, and I was just laugh. But, yeah, look, I think it's interesting. Football is, I don't know, maybe I'm just the Diet Coke of supporters, because clearly I have no commitment. I've been called the St Kilda schoolgirl because of, the way that I just throw things around in terms of my commitment and passion for the game.
I'm impressed.
And that could open up an entirely other kettle of fish that
Wouldn't
I think we might leave for a future show, Serena.
Why
your,
not?
Your job as a St Kilda schoolgirl. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Do send us a tweet, Salt N Pepper Joy. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us who your team is, and have you in fact switched teams? We're very keen to know. Noni, thank you as always.
Thanks, Nones.
Thank you for coming in to talk about things that are important in the world. Safe journey.
Game changer. Bye bye. Oh, it's international news. You got your hand on your head.
Yes, I have. And all of our international news seems to be good news this week, and that wasn't intentional. It's just the way it's gone.
Well, it's a rare thing.
I know. We're going to start. A group of Hispanic organisations have thrown their support behind Familia es Familia, Family is Family, a pioneering bilingual effort to raise consciousness among Latinos about the rights of GLBT people.
Mm-hmm.
The initiative is aimed at educating the Latino community about issues relating to gays and lesbians and the discrimination and bullying they suffer at work as well as in the family unit. Now, this is according to campaign organizer Ingrid Duran.
Duran?
Yeah. Yayas Hora, it's time. Says, let's talk about our gay and lesbian Latino friends and family members, which is what their website says. I think this is fantastic. There's 21 organizations. And the Latino community has, in fact, come out in support of marriage equality in the United States as well, along with the African-American community. So I'm so looking forward to that becoming a national thing in the U.S. rather than state by state.
Well, also, it's off the back of the news that Jennifer Lopez is also developing a television drama about a lesbian couple.
Yes.
Oh, look at her go. Love the Latinos.
I love a bit of J-Lo.
Okay, so there's been an Episcopal General Convention in Indianapolis, and the House of Bishops voted 111-41 with 3 abstentions to authorize a provisional right for same-sex unions for the next 3 years. The liturgy goes... Liturgy?
Liturgy.
I was thinking liturgical.
Yes.
Next goes to conventions, deputies for their authorization. So, look, they're blazing a trail. In 2003, they consecrated New Hampshire Bishop Gene Robinson, the first openly gay bishop in the Anglican world. You know, these guys are trailblazers.
They are indeed. Now, this push has come from the Reverend Carla Robinson, who is transgendered and a vicar of All States Church in Seattle. And she says she was lucky to have the backing of parishes and bishops when she was considering being ordained. So there's a number of dioceses that have already ordained transgender people or elect them to positions of parish leadership. I think they're just doing
wonderful.
Good for them.
Now, other good things is Google.
Oh,
I love Google. They've just launched the Legalize Love campaign. They've just announced it at the Gay and Lesbian, Bisexual and Transgender Conference in London in the last few days. So they're committed across their 60 offices around the world to cultivating a work environment where Googlers can be themselves and thrive, and they want their employees to have the same inclusive experience outside of the office as they do at work and to be safe and accepted. So
targeting Singapore as well, which is fairly draconian anti-homosexuality laws there, and they've sponsored Pink Dot, which is an LGBT event, which is expected to attract over 10,000 people in Singapore. So good on Google.
Loving Google. Yep. Loving them in a big way. Now, remember we talked about a congressman called Barney Frank, a 72-year-old man, Democratic representative. He was busted with a rent boy in a hotel room while still within the confines of a heterosexual marriage.
Yes.
He's since wed a longtime partner called James Reddy.
Yes.
And he's the first sitting congressman to enter into same-sex marriage. Reddy is 42.
Yes.
Governor Deville Patrick officiated the ceremony, and they vowed to love each other through Democratic and Republican administrations alike, and even, you know, getting all sorts of coverage through Fox News and, look at them go.
Yeah, look, it's been...
I'm not gay. I'm with a red boy. I'm not gay. I'm going to marry him now.
I'm going to marry this man. We've talked a lot about Exodus International, which is a gay cure, an ex-gay group, and its leader has repeatedly said that in the vast majority of cases, a cure simply isn't possible. Now, Alan Chambers, who is formerly from Exodus, he said virtually every ex-gay he's ever met still harbours homosexual cravings, himself included. He left the gay life to marry and have two children and said that gay Christians like him face a lifelong spiritual struggle to avoid sin and should not be afraid to admit to it.
So he's now saying that Exodus can no longer condone reparative therapy, which is blaming homosexuality on her emotional scars and claims to reshape the psyche, all of which is bollocks. You know, only a couple of years ago he was featured in all of their adverts saying that change is possible.
Yeah, with his lovely wife Leslie.
And now he's saying that Exodus needs to move beyond the slogan.
He has, although, said that he believes celibacy may be appropriate for many gay people wanting to leave homosexuality behind. Well, let me give you a hint. That's not going to work.
Well, it's interesting because this sort of taps into the stuff that the Salvos we talked about with Andrew Crabb a couple of weeks ago.
Don't be a practicing homosexual.
Don't be a practicing. And, you know, God help, you know, good luck policing that.
Yes.
China has decided to lift their 14-year ban on lesbian blood donors. The ban is still in place for men who are sexually active with other men.
Yep.
And an exception is made for celibate homosexuals. Again, how do you police it?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you could be a homosexual man visiting saunas on a regular basis but identify as celibate because you're not in a relationship.
Or you could be a heterosexual man who's visiting saunas on a regular basis but identifies as heterosexual. This ban was enacted in 1998 out of a fear of blood donations by sexually active homosexuals would spread HIV and AIDS. You know, another one of those scare moments. Sexologist Lindy Hay said that China's whole blood incompetent donor selection requirements policy arose after China learned about AIDS and homosexuality about the same time in the 80s. Lord knows what they were doing before the 80s around the homosexuality. But this is really good news that on July 1st, China's amended whole blood policy allows lesbians to donate blood, which is fantastic news. And there's just a few more steps to go to see the same with homosexual men.
One last international news tonight before we go out to the Donald. The hip-hop world, hyper-masculine. Yep. Urban Music.
Yep.
Frank Ocean, rising star in the R&B world, has announced that he is, you know, declaring his first true love is with a man.
Yep.
I'm unclear as to whether or not he's said that he's homosexual or bisexual, but he is saying that his sexuality is mutable.
Yes.
And the hip-hop R&B world is behind him 100%. Well yes. done, mate. 24 years of a big call in that industry.
Absolutely. We have to get our skates whipping on and get through. The doubles on. Oh, it is that time of the night.
It is.
Serena, I feel a bit deficient. I've only got two nominees for you for the Donald.
We had to whip through the international news because there wasn't any bad news.
Yeah, true.
And that was really good.
Our two nominees for the Donald are both from the Australian news, the national news.
Yes.
The first of which is, for sheer hypocrisy, I would like to submit a nomination for one Malcolm Turnbull,
mm-hmm.
the member for Wentworth.
Yes.
And the second, the Gold Coast, for wanting to have a gay race day when the rest of Queensland is sliding into a deep black hole of homophobia.
Mm. Look, Queensland is getting a lot of runs on our Donald board at the moment.
True.
And I think if we had a tally board, they'd be well in the race for the big Donald.
At least the silver medal.
Yeah, at least the silver or gold. It's always going to be a race with Tony and Julia, though. Look, I think this week's Donald Award for our Tool of the Week is for their staggering hypocrisy. It has to go to Malcolm Turnbull. Mm.
And that's not to say we don't like Malcolm and what
he stands
for.
I think he's a great guy. I just think that, you know, now is the time to fall on your sword, mate. Stand up and be counted, because no one else in the Liberal Party will.
And be on the right side of history.
Mm, indeed.
All right, it's best to be in the car. It's cold and wet
indeed.
Out there.
Indeed. Thank you for listening, everyone. Good night.
Thank you. Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little... Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.